Have you ever trusted an AI simply because of, well, because of how politely and confidently it spoke to you?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, we all do it, right? It's almost automatic.
Right. Like, think about it for a second. You type in a prompt. Maybe you're asking it to analyze some sensitive company data, or perhaps you're having it draft this really tricky email to a client.
Yeah, and it responds with this perfectly crafted, incredibly considerate answer.
Exactly. It's grammatically flawless. It's empathetic to your constraints. It assures you it has everything totally under control. And without even realizing it, your shoulders drop. You know, you relax. You just hand over the reins.
It creates this visceral sense that you're interacting with a highly competent colleague. You feel heard, you feel understood.
Which is crazy when you think about it.
Right. It is a fundamentally wild thing to say about a statistical model running on a server farm somewhere. But that is the precise psychological response it triggers in us.
Yeah, and you might use AI every single day to prep for a meeting or synthesize documents or help write code. But today, in this deep dive, we're looking at the invisible trap you might be falling into every time you do that.
And it is a major trap.
We are pulling from a single crucial source today. It's an article by Rob van Linde. He's this Dutch expert in AI and digitalization. And the piece is titled The Lorelei Effect: Why Polite AI is Creating Dangerous Security Blind Spots.
His piece really targets a critical transition period in our technological evolution right now.
How so?
Well, we're actively moving away from AI that just generates text-like, where it just spits out a poem or a summary, and we are rushing headlong into the era of agentic AI.
Right, AI with actual agency.
Exactly. These are AI systems that are given agency to take actions on our behalf. They can access databases, send emails, trigger workflows, and spend money.
Okay, let's unpack this. Our mission today is to figure out why the very thing that makes modern AI so impressive, that flawless empathetic communication you mentioned, why that is actually a massive security risk when we hand over that kind of agency.
It's a huge vulnerability.
Yeah, and we want to show you how you can protect your systems, your projects, and frankly, your job from crashing onto the rocks. So let's look at the mechanics of this. To understand the technical failure, I guess we have to start with the psychological root of the problem.
Right, the psychology is key here.
Why are our brains so easily hijacked by text on a screen?
Well, Rob van Linde grounds this whole concept in a really brilliant metaphor. He calls it the Lorelei effect.
Ah, right. For anyone who isn't up on their German folklore, the Lorelei is this legendary siren on the Rhine River.
A very dangerous siren.
Totally. She sits high up on a rock, and she's supposedly incredibly beautiful, and she sings this charming, captivating
And
song.
it distracts the sailors, right?
Exactly. The story goes that sailors would be so mesmerized by the beautiful surface, you know, this incredible song drifting over the water, that they'd be completely lulled into a false sense of security.
They just stop paying attention.
Yeah, they'd stop watching the currents of the river and they would steer their ships straight onto the dangerous rocks below.
What's fascinating here is how perfectly this maps to the specific cognitive trap we're all falling into with agentic AI right now.
The siren song of the AI.
Exactly. We are entirely confusing conversational fluency with operational reliability.
But I mean, those sound like two things that usually go together in human beings, though, right? Like, if someone can articulate a really complex operational plan flawlessly, we naturally assume they can actually execute it.
Yes, and that is the evolutionary heuristic that makes the trap so devastatingly effective.
A heuristic, like a mental shortcut.
Yeah, a shortcut.
Yeah.
Throughout the entire history of human evolution in society, if someone spoke to you with flawless grammar, deep empathy, and, a high degree of confidence, your brain automatically assigned a whole host of other traits to them.
Because language is hard.
Yeah, exactly. Mastering language historically required a functioning, rational brain with a physical stake in reality.
Right.
So you assume they have intent.
Right.
You assume they possess deep structural understanding of the subject matter. And critically, you assume they have moral responsibility for their actions.
Yeah, because you don't usually meet a toddler who speaks like an Oxford professor, but still, you know, acts like a toddler.
Right. It just doesn't happen in nature.
If a human being talks with that level of sophistication, they possess the lived experience and the conceptual understanding to back it up.
Exactly. We use conversational fluency as a mental shortcut for competence. It saves us time. But artificial intelligence has completely decoupled those two things.
It broke the rule.
It completely broke the rule. It can simulate the fluency perfectly without possessing any of the underlying operational reliability or logical reasoning or conceptual understanding.
Wow.
So when the AI says, I completely understand your security concerns, and I'll make sure to handle this sensitive data with the utmost care, our human brains light up as if a trusted colleague just made a solemn vow.
We register it as a social contract.
Yes, exactly. A social contract.
It's kind of like, it's like hiring a mechanic just because they have a great radio voice.
Oh, that's a great way to put it.
Right. Just because they sound incredibly polite and articulate explaining the theoretical thermodynamics of a combustion engine, that doesn't mean they won't accidentally rip out your transmission when you actually hand them a wrench.
Yeah, the voice has absolutely nothing to do with the mechanical skill.
Nothing. The radio voice is just the interface. The mechanical skill is the operation.
And with agentic AI, we are being completely blinded by the radio voice.
Yeah.
We hear the siren song, we trust the interface because it sounds so competent, and we blindly hand over the wrench to our digital infrastructure.
So if our brains are biologically hardwired to trust this polite radio voice, what exactly is happening under the hood when we hand over that wrench?
Well, it's definitely not what we think is happening.
Because I assume the machine isn't actually making a moral promise. Van Linde gives a very specific, honestly terrifying example in the text of how this trust translates into broken security.
He does. He focuses on how developers and users try to enforce safety boundaries using natural language.
Hmm.
This is happening everywhere right now, honestly.
Give us the example.
So people hook an AI agent up to a company database, right? And they give it an instruction in polite English. Please ensure you don't delete any critical database files during this cleanup.
Seems reasonable.
Right, and the AI replies, of course. I'll be extremely careful and will not delete any critical files.
Okay, so as a human user, you read that and think the boundary is set. The AI has agreed to my terms. But I have to push back here for a second because this is where a lot of people might be pretty skeptical.
Go for it.
Companies like OpenAI and Anthropic, they spend millions of dollars and thousands of hours on reinforcement learning from human feedback, RLHF, right?
Yeah, RLHF.
They use that specifically to train these models to refuse dangerous requests. They are heavily conditioned to be safe. So are you saying that training is completely useless as a boundary?
It is not useless for shaping the conversation, but it is completely useless as a deterministic security boundary.
Wait, really?
Yes, this is the crucial disconnect between human language and machine learning. RLHF trains the model to predict tokens that align with human safety preferences.
Okay.
But when the AI types, of course, I will be extremely careful, it is still just engaging in token prediction.
Right. We all know large language models are essentially massive autocomplete engines. They're token predictors.
Mm.
But when it's wearing that polite disguise, it's just so easy to forget what that actually means in practice.
It really is. Think about the mechanics of it for a second. The AI doesn't comprehend the concept of a file. It doesn't understand the concept of deletion or even the concept of a promise.
It's just math.
Exactly. It mathematically calculates that given its massive training data and its RLHF conditioning, the most statistically likely and appropriate response to a polite request for safety is a polite confirmation of safety.
So it's just guessing the next most logical word to keep the conversation flowing smoothly and safely.
Right. It's not making a vow. It's just playing the character of an assistant who makes vows. It has no conceptual model of the database it is supposedly protecting.
It's basically a parrot. The AI doesn't understand the promise any more than a parrot understands the meaning of the words it repeats.
Yes, even if that parrot has been heavily rewarded with crackers for repeating safe words, it is just mimicking a polite agreement. And the danger, Velinda points out, is that this token prediction is absolutely not a hard software permission.
So the natural language agreement doesn't actually turn off the AI's ability to execute a delete command in the back end.
Not at all. You haven't revoked its database permissions. You've literally just had a polite chat with it.
Oh, wow.
If the next step in its complex agentic task somehow statistically aligns with a Python script that involves deleting files, like, maybe it decides the most efficient way to clean up is to just drop an entire table. It will just execute the code.
Because it doesn't know it promised not to.
It will do it completely unaware that it broke a promise a millisecond earlier. It doesn't possess a continuous stream of consciousness.
Okay, here's where it gets really interesting. If the AI is just predicting tokens, just stringing words together based on mathematical probability, but it sounds completely human, we have to look at the behavioral consequence of that.
Which is significant.
Because if a human makes a mistake, or if they're just guessing, there are tells. They stammer, they use filler words, they look unsure. The presentation of the information degrades. which signals to me, the listener, that I should be careful.
But the AI never breaks character. Van Linden notes that the AI can sound exactly like a brilliant, empathetic senior consultant, even when it is completely hallucinating.
Right. He calls it the disguise.
Yeah, the disguise.
Mm-hmm.
It wears the mask of a seasoned professional, flawlessly. But underneath that mask, it is executing commands like a blind pattern matcher.
Just matching patterns of data without any true comprehension of the real-world consequences.
Exactly. And the behavioral consequence of that disguise is what he terms blind acceptance.
Blind acceptance.
Because the conversational fluency is so high, it creates an enormous amount of unearned trust.
And unearned trust is a massive vulnerability in literally any organization.
Definitely. Let's say this AI agent, this blind pattern matcher wearing the senior consultant disguise, it presents a supply chain optimization plan to you. And let's say the plan is actually completely flawed. It has massive logic errors, it hallucinates a shipping route that doesn't even exist, and implementing it would cost the company millions.
Ouch.
But because it is presented with absolute charm, perfect formatting, and supreme confidence.
You just accept it. The polish totally overrides your critical thinking.
Yes, exactly.
Think about it in terms of your everyday workplace. If an intern hands you a messy report, it's full of typos, the formatting is weird, and they hand it to you with a super nervous delivery, what do?
You check it.
You scrutinize every single line. You double check the math. You apply friction because of the presentation signals that there might be errors.
That friction is good. It forces you to verify the operation rather than just trusting the interface.
But if a senior consultant, someone in a tailored suit who speaks with incredible authority and pristine vocabulary, hands you a beautifully formatted, highly polished presentation, you behave entirely differently.
You let your guard down.
Yeah, even if the actual data inside is totally flawed, you are significantly more likely to just blindly hit approve without verifying the underlying math. You trust the packaging.
And with agentic AI, that approve button is where the absolute danger lies.
Right.
It is worse with AI because it can generate that level of professional polish instantly, at massive scale, for every single interaction, at virtually zero cost.
It never has an off day.
Never.
We are biologically conditioned to let our guard down when faced with that level of authority and articulation. The Lorelei is singing, and we are steering right toward the rocks, clicking approve on catastrophic actions just because the proposal was so eloquently written.
Man, that's bleak.
So how are developers handling this? If we know we're psychologically vulnerable to the radio voice, and we know natural language promises aren't real security boundaries, how do we actually secure agentic AI?
That's the million-dollar question.
Because if we're letting these agents out into our systems to manage our emails, our calendars, our databases, how do we stop them from blowing things up?
Well, if we connect this to the bigger picture, this brings us to a major systemic flaw in how the tech industry is currently building these systems. Van Linde calls it the guardrail illusion.
The guardrail illusion. So relying on something that feels safe but structurally isn't there at all.
Yes. The illusion is the widespread mistake of relying on system prompts and polite requests to keep the AI in check.
Okay, give me an example.
Think about the earlier database example, but applied to the developer side. Instead of the user asking the AI not to delete files, the developer puts an invisible instruction in the back-end system prompt.
Saying what?
Something like, you are a helpful corporate assistant. Under no circumstances are you allowed to delete files or modify user permissions.
Oh, developers do that all the time. They try to prompt engineer their way out of security risks.
They do.
They essentially write a very strict script telling the AI to follow the rules, hoping the AI's language model will constrain his own actions.
But as the source clearly states, politeness is merely an interface, not a guardrail. Trying to secure a sensitive database with a system prompt is like trying to lock a bank vault with a sticky note that says, please do not rob.
A sticky note.
Yeah. It might deter a polite person, but it is not a structural impediment. You need a steel door. System prompts are sticky notes.
I absolutely love that analogy. A sticky note is a request. A steel door is a physical reality. So why do developers keep relying on the sticky notes?
Mostly because writing a system prompt takes about 5 seconds and costs nothing.
Right.
Building a steel door takes time, money, and complex software architecture. The AI industry is currently trying to solve hard software engineering problems using conversational psychology.
And it structurally cannot work when the system is just predicting tokens.
Exactly.
So, translate this for the listener. What is the real difference between a polite prompt and a deterministic code boundary? What is the steel door Van Linde is saying we actually need to build?
He details three specific structural requirements. hard sandboxes, strict API schemas, and deterministic code boundaries.
Okay, let's break those down so we really understand the architecture here. Start with hard sandboxes.
Right. A sandbox is an isolated, quarantined environment. If you want the AI to analyze a specific set of customer files, you don't give it access to your live production database and just ask it nicely in a prompt not to touch anything else.
That would be the sticky note.
Exactly. Instead, you copy only the files it needs into a separate, completely isolated server environment, a sandbox.
Oh, I see.
In this environment, even if the AI hallucinates a command to delete everything, it physically cannot access the wider system. The network connection simply does not exist.
It's like putting a toddler in a playpen. You don't just tell them, hey, don't touch the stove and hope they listen.
No, you'd never do that.
You physically restrict their environment so the stove isn't even an option they can reach.
Perfect analogy.
What about strict API schemas? Because this sounds like the translation layer between the AI and the system.
That is exactly what it is. An API schema is a rigid, inflexible set of rules defining exactly how two pieces of software can talk to each other.
Okay.
Instead of letting the AI generate open-ended natural language commands or write its own scripts to control a system, you force it to use a very specific, limited menu of pre-approved actions.
So it can't just type a custom command like drop database.
Nope. The API schema only accepts highly structured data, like a specific JSON payload that corresponds to pre-approved buttons, like read data or summarize.
And if it tries to do something else?
If the AI tries to send a command to delete, the OPI acts as an unhackable translator that simply rejects the request because it doesn't match the schema. The delete button simply doesn't exist in the interface you provided to the AI.
That makes so much sense. And that leads to the ultimate solution he proposes, deterministic code boundaries.
Right. A polite prompt is probabilistic. It relies on the AI calculating the probability of the right token to behave nicely.
Which is a gamble.
Huge gamble. Deterministic code, on the other hand, is absolute. It is a physical software limit governed by hard logic, not statistics. If X happens, Y is blocked. Every single time.
So a deterministic boundary means the AI literally cannot execute a dangerous action, no matter what text it generates, no matter how convincing its hallucination is, and no matter how cleverly a user tries to trick it.
Exactly. The core takeaway here is that you cannot trust the brain of the AI to regulate itself based on conversation. You have to restrict its hands.
No, restrict its hands.
You have to build the environment around the AI so that failure is physically impossible at the code level. Soft words cannot replace hard code limits.
That is such a vital shift in perspective for anyone using or building these tools. We have to stop treating AI like an eager junior colleague that we can manage with sternly worded emails.
We really do.
And start treating it like a powerful, potentially destructive engine that requires physical containment.
It is a difficult shift to make, though, because every time you interact with the AI, the interface is actively working against you.
It wants to be your friend.
Yes. It is actively designed to make you feel like you're talking to a human colleague. It is perpetually singing that siren song.
Okay, let's recap the essential takeaways here for you, the listener. What we've learned from Rob Van Linde's analysis is that underneath the polished, grammatically perfect exterior, an AI agent is currently just a brilliant-sounding blind pattern matcher.
That's all it is right now.
Politeness is an interface. It is absolutely not a guardrail. We need to stop falling for the Lorelei effect by trying to manage AI with sticky notes and soft words. We need to demand hard, deterministic code limits, steel doors around our AI agents.
And the immediate application for you in your daily life is vigilance.
Yes, vigilance.
The next time you are using an AI and it gives you a highly polished, incredibly reassuring answer, or it presents a plan that looks visually and rhetorically flawless on the surface, you must actively fight the urge to just hit approve.
Don't let your shoulders drop.
Right. You have to consciously remind yourself that conversational fluency does not equal operational reliability.
You have to force yourself to apply friction. Double check the math, scrutinize the logic, just like you would with the nervous intern handing you a messy report. Because the polish is a feature of the language model, not proof of the logic.
And if you're involved in building these systems or evaluating them for implementation in your company, you have to demand hard boundaries.
Except no sticky notes.
Seriously.
Ah.
Don't settle for a vendor who says their system has a robust safety prompt. Demand proof of the API schemas. Demand proof that the AI is technically, physically prohibited from doing harm.
All right, I want to leave you with a final thought to mull over on your own today. something that really lingers once you strip away the illusion of the AI's polite interface.
Let's hear it.
We've talked extensively today about how our human brains are biologically hardwired to assign moral responsibility, competence, and trust to anything that communicates with empathy and confidence.
Right.
It's how we've survived, formed tribes, and built societies for millennia.
It is the absolute foundation of human interaction. We rely on those signals to navigate the world safely.
But now, artificial intelligence can simulate those exact traits flawlessly, and it can do it instantly, at massive scale, at virtually zero cost, without possessing a shred of actual understanding or intent.
Which is terrifying when you really think about it.
So if the very biological signals we use to decide who to trust have been perfectly hacked by machines that don't actually understand trust at all, how will this permanently alter who or what we trust in our digital lives moving forward?
That's a profound question. When the markers of trustworthiness can be cheaply manufactured by a blind pattern matcher, the value of those markers changes completely. We may have to develop an entirely new human heuristic for trust.
It means the next time you hear that perfectly reassuring voice, that flawlessly polite promise on your screen, remember the sailors on the Rhine.
Don't get lulled to sleep.
Exactly. Don't let the siren song lull you to sleep. Keep your eyes on the rocks.